Well, I wait for it, and I wait for it, and I wait for it, and I joyfully get excited when I know it's coming, and upon its arrival, I always feel a little bit of a thrill inside, and anticipate with the entire year to come to this exciting moment, to come face to face with that great and wonderful truth. We've reached the end of another liturgical year, and we're going to come up on a new year in no time at all. Or did you think I meant the cell? Who says I can't mean both? It's incredible. It's the last Sunday in Ordinary Time where we're actually celebrating green. I mean, if you come during the week, you'll see a few more green instances before we hit Lent or Advent. Lent's a little further away off, but before we hit Advent. But we genuinely are coming towards the end. And as we come towards the end, we have many Gospels that consider this coming of God, this promise of the second coming. And as I thought about the season, I thought about the snow coming down, I seriously reflected on what Paul had to say. He said, concerning time and season, we know neither the day nor the hour. When our Lord is coming, when that time comes and we will give an account for what we have and what we will have done with it, that time is coming and it will surprise us. It'll come in a moment we're not ready. And the question will be, what now? Because genuinely we have this parable to consider, and in so many ways it is a fascinating parable. Realize that the talent that they're referring to when the master of the house calls them in was a currency value. They had a pottery jar that once it was filled up, it was considered one talent full. And it was filled with a precious metal, so you could have a talent of gold or silver or copper or any number of those. And this was a talent, and because of the arbitrariness of how clay pots and these things come about, and actually kind of varied how much your natural talent was. Babylonian talents were a little bit less, Roman talents were a little bit more. I'm not really sure how they originally measured, but a talent could be anywhere between about 50 to 70 pounds. So if you imagine a Roman talent, five Roman talents would be well over 300 pounds of either silver or gold. It was actually kind of stunning. And here we have this man, this master of the house. And he imparts to each as he thinks that they are fit, as he thinks that they are capable, giving to some more and giving to some less, but expecting to grow in what they have. And I think it's one of these incredible moments when we consider this parable. It's truly, truly curious. Is this expectation of what we're going to do with it? Because they've been given this money, literally, and they've been expected to do something with it. Not just sit on it, not just acknowledge it, but actually to do something with it. I kind of think about those early days when I was first left in the house by myself. You know, you finally reach that age where you're old enough, where your parents want to believe that they can trust you to leave the house without burning it to the ground. You know, they give you that opportunity. Maybe some of you aren't old enough yet. You know, sometimes we have to wait a little longer than others, but you know, we always reach it eventually. I have older siblings, so I didn't think that day would ever come, but eventually I went off to college or something, and I was entrusted the house. Those first few times, parents always said similar things. They'd say things like, don't burn the house down, don't break anything, and make sure it's still here when we get back. You know, it's very encouraging to get those instructions. And after succeeding in that a few times, I still remember, you know, after a while, they no longer gave the instruction, they just sort of expected it, and even after that, my mother would come home frustrated. And I would say, yeah, I didn't burn anything down. I didn't break anything. What could be the frustration? And my mother would say, she'd say, well, can't you see? The answer was always for me, no, but that would just increase the frustration. Can't you see? The dishes still aren't done. The floors are still dirty. This laundry still has to be moved up. The trash still has to be taken out. Can't you see these things? And genuinely, no. I know they existed. I mean, you know, if you asked me to point out where the sink was, I could show you the way, but it didn't really connect to me to do these things. And so one time, after my mother was particularly frustrated and went on with this list, I actually sat down and wrote them down because I didn't see them, but obviously they were important to my mother, so I took the time to write them down. And after my mother and father left, if I was by myself in the house, I would actually pull the list back out and see if I could see these things. And usually I couldn't, but I could work on trying to learn how to see these things. And I just want you to know that sometimes it's important to hear what they mean more than what they say, because to say that they want the dishes out of the sink does not mean it's okay to hide them in the backyard. you know, it's a learning experience, I know. But I only did it once, so, you know, we move on from that. But we expect more. We genuinely expected more. We have to grow into it. And as we have more ability, as we have a greater capacity for achieving good things, as we have greater talents to share in what we have, there is a genuine expectation for us to live into that. And so we encounter these. The one has five, the one has two, the one has one. They all have talents. They're given these talents. They're sent out into the world. They're sent out with these instructions. They have this genuine expectation of who they are and what they're supposed to do. And they come back. And then they come face to face with their master. And the master wants to know, what did you do with them? And this is the part I absolutely love. Because the one with five comes forward with five. Now he has 10. Look, I have 10. And he says, well done. Share your master's joy. But even more interesting, to me, all the more important, is the one who comes forward with two. Because he comes forward with two and he says, look, I had two, I made two more, now I have four. He still doesn't have as much as the first guy started with, let alone what he made. But he doubled what he had. And what does he do? He presents himself honestly. He says, you gave me two, now I have two more, that's what I have. And what does the master say? He says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter your master's joy. It's really only when we come face to face with the one, the individual who has a single talent, who said, you know, I knew you'd want something out of this, but I just wasn't sure I'd really be able to live up to that. So instead of disappointing you by screwing it up, I just buried it and, you know, just figured I'd ignore it for a while. I didn't really want to, you know, risk failure or any other thing. I think I'll just stick with hiding what I had. And that's when we come face to face with the challenge. Each of us has been given gifts, talents, so to speak, not literally big piles of gold or silver, but gifts. We've been given gifts of particular families and opportunities to grow and surroundings in so many ways. We're given so many wonderful and beautiful opportunities to grow and flourish with God's help. And within these gifts, we have a genuine expectation. What are we doing with the gifts that we have been given? Because genuinely, I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, could point to someone and say, well, you know, yeah, I could do these things, but I could point out someone who's so much better than me at any number of these things. You know, there's that guy with the five talents, and you know, he's got so much more. Why doesn't he share in his talent? It isn't about what he's doing. And we can point to the one who has less than us. Hopefully we recognize that there are plenty who have less than us. And so we find ourselves genuinely, maybe we're not the one with five, maybe we're not the one with one, maybe we're the one that has two. But it isn't about making five more. It isn't about being the outstanding one in the field who has to be the single best at any particular gift. But genuinely, the question falls to each and every one of us as we come face to face with God, what did we do with the gifts given us? Not what did we do with the hypothetical of what might be at some point in the far future, maybe. Not how did we make the best of our limitation at one other point. But genuinely, face to face with God, what did we do with the gifts that we have now? And how did we share in the kingdom of God? How did we grow in connecting God back to his people? How did we grow in connecting people back to God? How did we grow in expanding this good news of salvation, this genuine need to live before God? Because that day will come and it will surprise us. That thief in the night moment that will catch us off guard. And we'll stand before God. Next week we will celebrate Christ the King. It actually says in the Roman Missal, Christ the King, King of the universe. And we will consider the end of the world, the end of time, the very end of it all. The question now is, what are we doing leading up to that? How are we using our gifts today? Because we don't know what tomorrow holds.